Welcome to Missing the Mouse, Episode 1. Missing the Mouse is a podcast about Disney parks and all things pertaining to the parks. I'm Jeremy Pettigrew.
And I'm Brad Burleson.
Today's episode is going to kind of be an introduction to us, to let you guys get to know who we are and just why we love Disney so much, and give you a little insight into some of our favorite moments. We're going to call this one the Favorites Show. So I went to Walt Disney World for the first time in 2007. With a friend of mine. We went for a week, and it was my first really experience with Disney at all. We stayed at the Caribbean Beach Resort, which is not the bottom of the line, but in the middle, and it was nice. I was really impressed with the bus system, you know, just getting to take a bus everywhere and never have to, we never rented a car. And that was really cool. So that was kind of my introduction. And when I got back, I kind of dove more into Disney and the history of the company and got real into the movies. And that's kind of where my love of Disney started. And since then, I've been back to Walt Disney World in 2012 for my honeymoon. And in 2013, for my first anniversary, my wife and I went to Disneyland for a day, and so I got to experience that park as well.
So, you're relatively new to the whole Disney fanaticism, huh?
I am. I'm still pretty green.
So was Disney, like, prior to visiting the park in 07, did you kind of grow up in Disney, or where is it always kind of tertiary prior to that? Or,
I mean, I watched the movies as a kid. I think my mom bought me every Disney movie on VHS that there was. So I'd watch the movies. I'd always wanted to go. My dad never liked to travel. So by the time I was 18, I think we'd been on 4 family vacations. So I'd always wanted to go to Walt Disney World, but I just never had the chance. And so I didn't really know what a big vacation like that was. So, yeah, I would say it was definitely kind of a tertiary thing in my life until I went. And then I was so overwhelmed with what it is and what Disney does.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's crazy. So I guess my first visit to Disney actually was to, not to Walt Disney World, but was to Disneyland. And I was 15 at the time, which means that my first visit to a Disney park was totally wasted on me, because I was that, you know, I was the 15-year-old who instantly thought that I had to be cooler than anything that I could be seen as what little kids would like. So I spent the entire time thinking, this is so stupid. This is so boring. You know, and truthfully trying to hide the fact that this is a whole lot of fun. This is really, really cool. You know, probably the most memorable thing from that trip is I had a little hat, you know, like the little golf hats. I had one in black that had Mickey on it, in like a script font. And I thought I was totally awesome. I've since figured out that I'm not made for those sorts of hats or any sort of hat except for a ball cap or maybe a pair of Mickey ears. Yeah, and I probably look like a total dork wearing that, but, you know, again, I thought I was cool. So, you know, so that was my first trip to Disneyland, and then I went to Disney World when I was, I believe, 17 in 2000. You know, and by that point, I had changed quite a bit as far as my whole I'm too cool. You know, one of my mom's favorite stories to tell people about Disney, which, you know, is really helping my street cred, is talking about us driving up to Disney, and her and my dad were driving, and me and my sister were in the back of the car, and probably for, I don't know, at least 45 miles away, she said that we were continuously going, "I can see it, I can see it, I can see the castle, I can see the ears." So, yeah, so, you know, I was a Disney dork by that point, and actually went and worked for Disney in 2004. Actually found out about the Disney College program while looking up hotels for our trip in 2003, and received my letter to say that I've been accepted into the spring 2004 program for the Disney College program, actually a few days before, but my parents held the letter, did not let me know that I'd received anything. And I'm like freaking out, wondering if I'm going to get this internship. And they give me the letter 5 minutes before we leave. So I was like on cloud nine that entire trip, because I'm like, I'm going to get to come and work here. And since then, I've been back every year. So 2003 through 2012, as a matter of fact, not last year, but the year before last. Yeah, because I've been married a little bit over a year now. I proposed to my wife at the Dancing Lights in Disney Hollywood Studios. And
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, that was actually, our first date was actually going and looking at Christmas lights. And she had always told me how much she loved Christmas lights. And we were planning to go to Disney for the holidays with my family. And I'm like, dude, I cannot miss an opportunity like this. And so, you know, while it seems like quite a few people, the popular spot to get engaged is right there at the castle and everything. For us, we got engaged right there in the Dancing Lights. So, yep. And, you know, and we've actually got a plan. We're actually not going to make it back to Walt Disney World this year, but we are going to go to Disneyland in about 3 weeks. We're going to head over there we're going to spend 1 day in Disneyland and 1 day in Disney's California Adventure. So,
and you're cutting it close this year.
Yeah, yeah, very close. That was kind of a last minute trip. We were, you know, just like, you know, when you work for Disney, and after I stopped working for Disney, I actually was a campus rep for a while. Then my sister worked, did the college program as well, and then she was a campus rep. So meantime, we get to take advantage of the Disney cast member discounts, which include free admission to the park for your family, half price on hotels. There are a lot of discounts available if you work for the company. And when you don't work for the company anymore, you really realize Disney's a very, very, very expensive place to go.
Yeah, no kidding.
But you know, my family did learn pretty early on that when you go to Disney, you have to enter into that vacation mode. You know, everything's going to be crazy expensive compared to what you're probably paying at home. But it's a vacation and you should enjoy yourself. And, you know, if you nickel and dime it, you're just never going to have fun. So.
Right. You're going to be, if you're worried about the money the whole time, there's no point in going.
Yeah. Go to Six Flags Park somewhere. Yeah. And enjoy your time walking through the cattle stalls or whatever.
I know you've been to more than just Disneyland and Walt Disney World. You've actually visited some of the international parks.
Yeah, I've been to Tokyo Disneyland and Disney Sea, and I can't tell you what year that was. I want to say 2007, but that could be wrong. And then I've also been to Disneyland Paris. Just a few years back, we had a company retreat to Paris, and when everybody else took a day to go see all the amazing sights of this old city, I said, I have to go to Disneyland, so I'll see you guys at the end of the day. So I've actually been everywhere except for Hong Kong Disneyland. I don't know. My favorite park is, it's really hard because there's part of me that says that Tokyo Disney Sea, just the theming that goes into that place is absolutely incredible. I mean, it just, everything feels so Disney there, and it's such a unique take to what you feel, you know, because Tokyo Disneyland, Disneyland Paris, Disneyland Magic Kingdom are all in many ways the same park. There are definite differences in each park. Before anybody, you know, tries to send us 400 messages telling us how horrible it is that I should ever say that that's the same park. But they're basically, and Disney Sea is just such a unique park. Like I said, so well themed, and you know, I don't know. It could also have to do with the fact that was my first trip to Tokyo, so there was some of that probably going on. But they just put on a real quality show there. So I would say it would either have to be Tokyo Disney Sea, or I'd also be hard pressed not to put Epcot in the running, because that was when I worked for the company. I actually worked at Innoventions in Epcot, worked there for most of my program, and then, or for 4 months of my program, and then the last 3 months I worked at Mission Space Race in Mission Space near, you know, that big video game near the exit. That was where I worked. So, you know, there's a lot of attachment to Epcot, because that was my home park. So I think that would have to come in, you know, it's kind of 1A, 1B sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would say that my favorite experience, Disney experience, is Walt Disney World, just because they've got everything there, and the resorts and the bus system, and just the amount of things you can do at the parks, and just the sheer amount of attractions and the sheer amount of space they have there is just amazing. But if I had to pick a single park, it would be Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Disneyland just 2 months ago, we landed at John Wayne Airport in Orange County, and we got on a bus that was taking us to, we stayed at the Best Western, which was directly across the street from the entrance to Disneyland. That's a great hotel if you don't want to stay on property and pay the, you know, ridiculous rates for Paradise Pier and the Disneyland Hotel. The Best Western, I think, was $100 a night, and it's directly across the street from the park. But being on that bus, you know, I was kind of taken in California. That was the first time I'd ever been to California. And my wife tapped me on the arm, and she said, "Hey, look, there's Space Mountain." And I looked over, and I just saw, man, Space Mountain from the highway. And she said, "And there's the Matterhorn." And I looked, and, you know, there's a mountain.
In the middle of downtown, feels like this huge city. All of a sudden, there's this park. It's not like Walt Disney World where it's all so separated.
Right, right. And just, you know, you can see in, and that's crazy, but that park really, I feel like, embodies what Walt wanted to do, which is, you know, you can see in and see this crazy world, you know, this crazy land that's a dream almost. And once you pass through the gates, and even before you actually get to the park entrance, but just once you get into the gates and you're walking through the place where the buses drop off and everything, it's just amazing. I mean, you cannot see out. There's no way to see the highway. You know, there's no way to see, oh, I'm in the middle of downtown Anaheim. There are no high-rise buildings near the park that you can see. And man, it's magical. It's, you know, that's literally the only word I can think of to describe how I felt. It made me almost feel weepy just being in there and seeing, oh my gosh, this is what Walt wanted. You know, this whole, just come in here and forget about life and just have fun, be a kid. And man, I had my mouse ears, and you know, everybody at Disney is just so happy, and it was just amazing. So I think Disneyland is my favorite park, but yeah, you're right. At Walt Disney World, you know, everything is so far back into the property. You drive through the Walt Disney World gates, and then you have another 15 minutes before you hit. Start hitting property, and so it was definitely weird to you know, step off of a bus and then walk for 3 minutes and be in Disneyland. But yeah, that's my favorite park.
So your favorite park, Disneyland, favorite overall, Disney World. And yeah, I mean, it's so incredible the way that, you know, that whole thing works, where, you know, like you said, even the buses, you know, you were kind of talking about how you never even had to have a rental car, and that's the way that it's ingenious on Disney's part, because they keep all those dollars inside and away from some of the other parks that may or may not be in Orlando. But it's, you know, and it all works so well. It's, you know, it's almost like, you, why would you want to drive, you know, you're looking for an excuse not to drive your car, because if you go drive your car, then you're going to have to go park, then you have to get on the tram. And if you're going to the Magic Kingdom, you have to get to the transportation and ticket center, then you have to ride the monorail or a boat, which is an amazing way to approach Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
But it's not an amazing way to enter first thing in the morning when all you're doing is you want to get to the Magic Kingdom, and there are 4 million other people that all have the same idea you do.
Oh my gosh. And getting out of the ticket and transportation center is insane. Ugh. getting on that, you know, getting on the park monorail at any point in the morning or the evening is awful.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Definitely. Here's your missing the mouse tip for today. Take the resort monorail.
Because come on, man. It's the long way around.
But it's so worth it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, and the resort monorail, I would say, is worth it, not just because you're not going to have to wait as long of a line, but it's also worth it because you get the opportunity to go by the, you know, because I'm thinking from transportation and ticket, you still have to go by at least Contemporary, right?
Yeah, and riding a monorail through a hotel is awesome.
Yes. But riding the monorail through a hotel can be more awesome if you, depending on where you get to sit, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, that's right. And one of my, again, at my trip to Disneyland, my favorite memory, and it was a dream come true, it was a true Disney dream made, was I've always loved, since I became a Disney freak, I've always loved the Mark 7 monorail. That red and white monorail they have at Disneyland is just awesome. And I've always, ever since I heard that you could ride up front, I have always wanted to ride up front. And I got the opportunity. The monorail loaded up right next to Finding Nemo's Submarine Voyage. And Claire and I stayed back, and a really super nice dude came up and he said, "Hey, why'd you hang back?" And I said, "Can we ride up front?" And he said, "Yeah, sure." And I've never felt so giddy in my entire life. And we got, he could see that. And so we got up front, and it was me and him and a mom, and or it was me, my wife, and a mom and her daughter. And then the guy that actually let us ride up front was driving or flying to use Disney parlance. And so he actually let us stay up front for the whole round trip, because at Disneyland, there's just one monorail. And it goes, it makes two stops, one at Finding Nemo, and then the other one is, I believe, at the
Downtown
front.
Disney or something?
Yeah, Downtown Disney, which is at Disneyland. Downtown Disney is just directly adjacent to California Adventure and Disneyland. It's not like Walt Disney World, where Downtown Disney is 30 minutes away. But so he let us stay up front the entire time, and man, that was just awesome to ride in the cockpit of that monorail. That a dream come true for sure.
Yeah, and you know, we actually, one of our trips, we did get to ride in the front of the Walt Disney World monorails. And yeah, it's such a different perspective when you're up there and you can actually see everything that's coming at you and get that full view of everything. Yeah, it's a totally different experience. So,
and it's funny, at Disneyland, they have super narrow passages at some points for that monorail, and the guy actually comes on the loudspeaker and says, "Hey, please keep your arms inside the vehicle," because the monorails aren't air conditioned at Disneyland. I can't remember if they are at Walt Disney World, but they are not air conditioned at Disneyland, and so they crack the windows pretty much all year round, because Southern California, anything other than 75 and sunny is out of the ordinary. So he actually came on and said, "Hey, we're going through some narrow passages here," and I was freaking out being up front because I could see them trees are coming, and I did not think we were going to fit, but it made it without a problem.
Very nice. So you sucked it in a little bit. So it sounds somewhat like when, you know, I don't know about you, but when I get on Space Mountain, I feel like, you know, and I've seen basketball players, you know, I've seen basketball players, pictures of them riding this attraction. I know these guys are taller than me, but I'm afraid to hold my arms up in Space Mountain. Every once in a while, I'll like hold them up for short periods of time, and then within like 5 seconds, they're like head level, because I'm really afraid that something is going to come off in that attraction. And I know that it won't. I know Disney is smarter than that. But yeah, it gets feeling a little tight in there.
I completely understand. My first, uh, my first experience with Space Mountain was at Walt Disney World, and that Space Mountain is not nearly as good as the Space Mountain at Disneyland. Yeah, it is not nearly as good. The Walt Disney World version of Space Mountain just has so many sudden drops and a lot of just, it's really herky-jerky. And yeah, that was the second roller coaster I ever went on in my entire life. The first being Expedition Everest in the Animal Kingdom. And so I was terrified. And my ride picture was literally me clutching the bar, eyes shut, cheeks puffed out, because I was breathing like, you know, Lamaze, just going, because I was terrified. And Claire told me, she'd been to Disneyland a bunch of times, and she said, that's my wife, she said, Disneyland is so much better. And I was like, man, I hope so. And so we went on it when we were at Disneyland, and she was right. Disneyland, there is no herky-jerky. There's no nothing. It's just a nice, smooth ride, and it's actually kind of nice.
Yeah, so, you know, that actually brings up, I was kind of struggling to find my favorite experiences at Disney, and I don't know. Well, okay, so first of all, my favorite experience has to be, you know, when my wife said yes when I proposed to her, because otherwise I will be in the doghouse for so long.
Good call.
So, of course, my dear, that's my number one. but definitely up there in my top ones has to be, I actually took some friends to Disney World, and this was during Epcot's 25th anniversary. Which was really cool to get to go to. Didn't even realize everything they'd be putting on for that before we went. But or was it the 20? Yeah, I think it was the 25th. Anyway, some big Epcot anniversary, and we were at the Magic Kingdom, and we go to get on Space Mountain, and it's this guy. It's one of my friends and his wife, and so all three of us get on the ride vehicle. You know, click, 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 click. You're up at the top, and it takes that. It starts off with that slow turn before that first drop, and the slow turn's going good. First drop, she starts screaming and does not stop for the entire ride. And meanwhile, her husband and I, being the gentle, understanding, caring guys that we are laughing our heads off for the entire attraction, because that's just how we are. And I, you know, this was by no means her first roller coaster or anything like that, and so I was very confused as to why she would be doing this. So we get to the exit, you know, we leave the attraction, we finally stop laughing at her for long enough for me to say, hey, so why were you screaming like that? It's a little bit scary, but it's not that scary. And she said, I thought it was like one of those solar system rides or something. She had no clue that we were getting on a roller coaster. she was thinking something more like, you know, Peter Pan, or I don't know, one of those slow dark rides, and all of a sudden the bottom drops out. So then I can totally understand, but that was just absolutely hilarious that she thought we were getting on some slow dark ride. And found herself on a roller coaster.
So she's in her mind, going to die for the whole thing.
Exactly, because something has gone horribly wrong with this attraction, because it is not a roller coaster, and it just turned into a roller coaster.
Yeah. And it's strangely, you know, a really long, broken attraction that other people seem to be really enjoying, but...
Hey, it's Disney World. When things break, they break well.
Yeah, they break... They break the right way.
Yes.
So, well, speaking of attractions, what is your favorite attraction of all the Disney parks?
Oh, my goodness. My favorite attraction. You know, there's part of me that wants to go, you know, something more classic like Haunted Mansion. I love Haunted Mansion just because it's that classic Disney feel. You know, and I recognize that it is a totally... It's a very disjointed storyline throughout it. It goes from funny to scary to funny to scary, but never that scary. So there's part of me that wants to say that. But then there's the thrill ride side of me that wants to say Mission Space, orange, not green. I haven't even been on green. I've heard about green. I have no desire to go on green.
Thank you.
That feels like a waste of my time. But
green is not mission space.
No, green is the solar system ride, dark ride version of mission space. we will not discuss, you know, if and I'm going to feel really bad if you say this is yours, but test track, you know, I don't know. I think if I recall correctly, that tops out at about 65. All I remember is telling guests when they would ask me about that attraction, because they're like, I don't know, how scary is it? And I said, you probably went faster when you drove into the park this morning, because you were probably in a hurry and you probably broke the speed limit. So, but yeah, so mission space. And then for theming, and I know I've now cheated and now I'm going to put three attractions in here. For theming, I'm going to say the Tower of Terror, but not the Tower of Terror at Disney Hollywood Studios, the Tower of Terror in Tokyo, because they have an entirely different story to that one. I like the cheesy aspect of the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, but in Tokyo they have it's all attached to this eccentric collector who collects all these different things, and he collects an African idol called Shiriki Otundu, and Shiriki Otundu is actually what causes everything to happen, causes the elevator to fall and everything. And just the way that story is put together, the way the entire attraction is themed, is just right on point. You know, and it's to the extent that, you know, my Twitter avatar is a little Shiriki Otundu bobblehead that I had to buy after I got off that attraction. But yeah, so you know, take your pick from those, whichever, you know, whatever somebody might be wanting to look for there. But it's going to be somewhere in there. And I can't think of an unfavorite attraction except for maybe Stitch's Great Escape. And that's strictly because that, I'm going to say that ride stinks, but let's recognize that I'm not saying that it's a horrible ride. I'm saying it stinks as in it literally stinks. You know, there are smells that emanate from that ride that I am not a fan of. But anyway, so I'm going to throw in a favorite and a not favorite, kind of.
Well, and you're obviously not a huge fan of Test Track.
Well, yeah, I will ride Test Track. I will go on it. I will have a good time. It's just not all that it's cut, you know, not all that they try to make it out to be in my mind. You know, so now that I've bashed two Disney attractions and given props to a few, what is your favorite attractions?
Well, I will say in reference to yours, I have never actually been on Test Track. I missed Test Track when it was Test Track presented by GM. And when I was there on my honeymoon, they were converting it to what I call Tron Track, presented by Chevrolet. So I've not actually been on Test Track, so I can't rebut you on that or join in on your hate. I'm planning a trip to Walt Disney World for a year from now, and I will be going on Test Track then, and I'll report back with my
your findings.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Well, and since you cheated and said three, I will go ahead and also cheat. I think overall my favorite attraction is Splash Mountain at Walt Disney World. I'm not a huge fan of Splash Mountain at Disneyland. I think it's shorter.
Yeah, there is definitely something different to it.
It's shorter, and I'm not a fan of the one across three deep ride vehicles, which is the same thing as Space Mountain at Walt Disney World. They're one across three deep. And I'm not a fan of that. Splash Mountain at Disneyland does not have a lap bar, which I understand the way that they're set up. It's physically impossible to fly out of the ride, being the 6'4", 250-pound guy that I am. But I don't know. The lap bar makes me feel better. And I just like the length and the story and the fact that I can sit next to my wife on Splash Mountain. And, you know, it's kind of a slow ride. There's some drops, but for the most part, you know, it's about 9.5 minutes long. And you're kind of just floating through the story of Song of the South. And it's a nice little shaded breather, you know, you can take, especially since the wait is usually 60 to 90 minutes. But it's a nice little breather you can take, and it's one of the longest rides, I think, at a Disney park, especially the Walt Disney World version. But that's my favorite. I find myself craving Splash Mountain, you know, yearning to go on that ride. That's one of the must-dos when we were at Disneyland. But second favorite would have to be Tower of Terror. The Walt Disney World version is the only one I've ever been on. But it was the first thrill ride I ever went on. I went on that ride in 2007. That was the only thrill ride I'd ever been on. I went on the Texas Cyclone at Six Flags when I was 7 years old, and that's what started my irrational fear of roller coasters.
But that's definitely a good start right there.
Yeah, a 50-year-old rickety wooden roller coaster was my first ever experience as a child. But that was the first thrill ride I went on, and I just really liked it. I'm a huge fan of the Twilight Zone. My dad, on Memorial Day, Sci-Fi Channel would run, you know, 48 hours of straight Twilight Zone, and I would just watch them all. And so I'm a huge fan of Twilight Zone. I love the Rod Serling intro, and I totally agree with you that it's the best themed ride on the property. Just the bellhops, and that's the most bought in that I saw a Disney cast member to, you know, their character. That's just, I feel like the people who work on Tower of Terror really sink their teeth into that character.
Well, of course, it's one of the few characters on property that are one of the few things that you can do on property where you don't have to smile all day. You know, I remember when I was looking at what I want to work, right up there would have been Tower of Terror and Haunted Mansion, simply because you got to play creepy and it was acceptable. And in fact, if you came to work on a bad day, you could probably play that into your character. So
yeah. Yeah. And that's actually rewarded the creepiness and especially on Tower of Terror.
Oh yes.
You know, just being super shady and sketchy and stuff. So,
well, and did you hit that attraction during the, what was the wait time when you went on Tower?
I think the longest we waited was 45 minutes, and that was during Extra Magic Hours.
Yeah, if you ever go during, and we can call this another missing the mouse tip, it's actually kind of interesting to see when the entire queue is opened up, because of the way that it weaves around through those gardens, and you know, they've got the misters going and everything, and they've got that old music kind of going. It's just it's a very cool feel to the way that that's laid out. And of course, I say that if you ever actually have to sit in that 2 or 3 hour wait that it can hit during the, you know, during the peak of summer or something, you're probably going to hate all of those things.
Right.
Because they're standing between you and an attraction. But again, that theming just plays out all over the place.
Yeah. And they actually, when Claire and I were there on our honeymoon during the Extra Magic Hours, they actually opened the queue all the way up just after we actually got onto the, you know, the hotel property. So we just missed, just
so
missed
seeing
the queue.
So you barely got to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got the abbreviated queue, and it was still a 45 minute wait. Yeah. It's nice. And the music is very ominous. And it turned out when we got up there, one of the elevators or one elevator bank was out. You know, they run two cars per shaft.
Right.
They've got four elevators, but one of the shafts was out, so they were just running two cars. So that's why the wait was so long. But yeah, no, I definitely think that Tower of Terror is a great thing, and I've not been to any of the other parks, so I can't really speak to the other stories or anything, but the Tokyo Disney one sounds really interesting, and I've watched ride-throughs of it online, and it definitely looks like something that is in the same vein, but, you know, an interesting take for maybe an audience that doesn't know what Twilight Zone is.
Exactly, because it'd be completely foreign to them. So I mean, I completely see why that would actually hit something very special for you, which, you know, Disney is so amazing at hitting those special things, with the, you know, with that kind of attachment to your dad being such a Twilight Zone buff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So that's favorite attraction. What about your favorite show?
Oh gosh, favorite show. You know, I'm going to be honest. I don't watch that many of the shows when I'm at the parks. That's just never really been my thing. And yeah, Jeremy's going to hate me now because I'm the one who put that on the notes. you know, I'll say that the shows that I've been to, you know, things like the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular have always been really cool. But for some reason, while I can go on an attraction again and again, I've been to that one time. I went the one time, I saw what it had to offer, and I don't need to go back.
I can see that. So. And I will gush enough for the both of us, because I am madly in love with Fantasmic. I am just infatuated with Fantasmic, the Walt Disney World version especially. The Disneyland version is okay. It feels a little like they needed to change it for the other park, and they have the Columbia at Disneyland, and so they've integrated a Peter Pan Captain Hook fight into that one. But man, the one at Walt Disney World is just so tight and so just, oh man, it flows so well, and I would go see that show every night, especially now that they have the Glow with the Show ears, which will definitely be partaking in that.
Yeah, I've already told my wife that we will be $25 poorer when we go to Disneyland, because I will own a pair of Glow with the Show ears before we leave that park.
Yep. I've heard they're especially great with World of Color.
Yes, yes. So I'm really looking forward to that show. Though I'll be honest, if I could be anywhere with my Glow with the Show ears, it would be that they have now integrated the Glow with the Show ears at the Dancing Lights, the Osborne Family Dancing Lights at Disney Hollywood Studios, which I know would be totally awesome to get to see your ears dance with all those, you know, thousands and thousands of lights that they have up there.
Yes.
It's got to be totally cool.
And I will be at Walt Disney World next Christmas, so I will, with my Glow with the Show ears, I will get to see how that goes. I've never even seen the Osborne Family Lights, so that's sure to be maybe my new favorite show.
Well, see, okay, so when I think show, I'm thinking stage show. Now, if we're gonna start throwing something like that in there, then I definitely think Osborne Family Lights would fit in there as probably my favorite show. Then my favorite nighttime show, because to me, you've got Fantasmic, the park closing at Animal Kingdom, because they've got nothing there. Wishes. I'm just saying. Wishes at, you know, Magic Kingdom or Illuminations. And I am, again, I'm kind of torn because I worked Illuminations most nights. We had a seating area that our department worked. So I really, really love Illuminations. But since they have added the new projection stuff to Wishes for the castle, Wishes was always, it was always kind of a 1A, 1B with me with those two. And Wishes is now a clear number one because I'm a total sap for all the Disney stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like I said, all the projection they do on the castle where they just totally change the way the castle looks is awesome to me.
Yeah, and that is amazing. And that's one of the things that I'm so in love with Fantasmic is the first time, I had no idea, I'd never seen the show before. And it was actually just a fluke that Claire and I even went to see it. And when they started to project onto water, I had never seen anything like that before. And it just affected me so emotionally. I was like, oh my gosh, they are projecting onto water. They have, you know, they have created a way to project onto water. How insane is that? You know, and so I just, I fell in love with Fantasmic for that reason. And I can imagine when I see Wishes again and they're changing the layout of Cinderella's castle and making it something that it's not during the day, that's going to kind of give me the same.
Yeah, especially when they do it during Christmas and stuff, because they actually, you know, it changes into a gingerbread house. It changes into, you know, but again, that happens throughout the year. And now they've got, you know, where they were putting pictures up on it and everything. It's just amazing what Disney continues to do to continue to innovate.
Yeah, that sounds so cool, man. Like, I cannot wait to see that new show. I think that's going to be it for episode one of Missing the Mouse. Thank everybody for listening, and we'll be releasing new episodes every 2 weeks. So we will see you later, and have a magical day.